Well, it's good to be back here. It feels like we were just here. And when Diane and I woke up the next morning after Wilford and Tony and Martha came to pick us up, we stepped out on the porch and we both said, you know, it feels the same way as it does at home. It feels just the same feeling, you know, we felt like we were home. We've been wandering around the country and New Zealand for a while, and that was good, but it didn't feel like home. So it's wonderful to be here. This is a beautiful place, and a beautiful spirit is here. So, now on to business. I love it when Martha says, truth is shocking. I love it when she says that. Because she's right. And we're going to hear some things today that are exactly what Tony said. To my embarrassment, and I think to all of us that have been sharing, I've discovered that we don't understand the real gospel. It was shocking. It's very shocking to me that something that simple, we don't understand the way we need to understand it. So we have to go back to the beginning and undo some things. Now, if we're going to undo some things, it means we're going to have to leave some things behind that we've taught, that we've believed. That's a little embarrassing. But we want to be driving in this car. It's called the Gospel of Love. Misunderstood. It's been misunderstood. And it's been misapplied 1,000 different ways. It's been applied 1,000 ways, and they're all the wrong way. And we're going to hear a truth today that's absolutely, undeniably pure. Because James says the wisdom from above is first pure. It means there's no argument, there's no questions. It's pure. So we're going to get in this car, and these things that we've taught, these things that we've said, we're going to see them in our rearview mirror, and it's going to be okay. It's going to be a little painful, as we've been warned, but what you're going to hear, what you're going to understand, especially in this first hour, is really going to help you. And so, God has brought to us a gospel of peace. And there's been people that's known about this throughout all generations, but they were very few and far between in the Old Testament. David knew the gospel. David knew it. He talks about it. We're going to quote him today. He talks about it, this gospel of love. But the problem is, it's so pure, it's so wonderful, and the thing is we want to do something with it. We're trying to do something with it, and there's nothing you can do with this. It's pure. You can't do anything with it. And so we've built religions, and we've built systems of belief, and they're all towers of Babel. There's a bunch of talk. There's a lot of them. And so we've got to knock them all down, which means we've got to start over with this understanding. And we've talked, some of the things I'm going to say to you, we've said before, but the problem is we've went in and undid them with our own understanding. We've unraveled them. You know, we've been taught a lot of things. And so, you're going to get an answer to a lifelong question. We think we've got the answer to this, but we don't. But you're going to hear it today. And why isn't the Father doing something about the world that we're in? Why isn't he doing something about it? Because when we look out there, we see a mess. We see lots of things going on. And we try to do something with them. So I want to start with 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, that's going to be somewhat of a main text throughout the day. But we're going to focus in on one phrase this morning. And Peter began to understand who he was. And one thing I want to tell you when you're in your Bible study is something that I've learned is that we're reading stories about men who were all in transition.
Yeah.
I don't see contradiction in the Bible. I see stories of man struggling with the truth in the Bible. That's what I see, just like me. Just like me. Just if I were to write a book, you'd see me going in and out. And at the end, I got it, whoops, and I slipped on a banana peel and I forgot it for a little bit, and I'm talking a bunch of hoo-ha, you know? Well, that's the Bible. It's a history book. It's all history, by the way. There's no eschatology. There's no future in there. Everything that's future is already now. Everything. So Peter makes some wonderful statements here. It's phenomenal. He says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So if you understand that verse, he says, grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of this God, the knowledge of the righteousness of God, which he just said. Grace and peace will be multiplied unto you when you understand verse 1, right? Here we go. Grace and peace will be multiplied unto you when you know this God, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him, he said it again. So better pay attention to that because he said it twice. So maybe we aren't remembering really well, right? Because he said it two times. And hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, by escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. Corruption and lust are pretty rough words, right? But he's not talking about somebody else. He's talking about us. This is for you. This isn't your neighbor. This isn't that world out there. This is you. He's saying your corruption and lust is robbing you from understanding this, from who this God is. Our parents have taught us how to be afraid all our lives. And we think that we're trying to help our kids. But we've been growing up and be taught how to be worried and how to be afraid.
Yeah.
That's all they've taught us. They haven't taught us the love of God.
No.
We've been taught how to be afraid, how to be careful. Watch where you're going. Drive safe. How do you drive safe? You could have a manual on that, can't you? You got to read it before you leave every time. We've been taught these things. We haven't been taught the love of God, and we don't understand the righteousness of God. There's only one righteousness. There isn't any, we don't have any. And it's the righteousness of God. So what is that? He's focusing in on that in verse 1, so we've got to start there. So, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So we understand faith by understanding his righteousness. And what is that? Well, in October, over a year ago, I was given a revelation on the righteous judgment of God. Those two words don't go together too well, based on my definitions anyways. Because my definition of judgment is always bad. Whenever I hear the word, you know, you sort of shake, you know, a little bit. Nobody likes to go into court. I've been in there several times, being in the building business, and being in business, you're exposed to things, and it's okay. Well, one time I was in there, the judgment was good. Wow, that was a shock. The judge got up and said, well, you guys are credible and this and that and this, and the plaintiff, you guys are nuts. I find in favor of the defendant. Diane had suffered through that for years, you know, because our neighbors were upset at us and about doing nothing. It was just a trivial thing, really. But it turned into a 5-year ordeal. And if I could get a 30,000-foot view of that, which we're going to talk about a little later, from beginning to end, I wouldn't have been so frustrated about it, would I? If I'd have known the beginning from the end, then it would have just been smooth sailing. Well, I'm going to tell you the answer to that today with all of our lives, the beginning from the end. We're going to find that out today, what that is. Something you have never heard before, the way you need to hear it today. And so we're going to start by understanding the righteousness of God. What is it, and what does it mean? So we're not going to have time to look up these verses, but the notes will be available to you if you want them. So Jeremiah says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called. Her name will be the Lord, our righteousness. That's your name. But we don't feel that too often, do we? That's our name, the Lord. Your name's the Lord, our righteousness. That's pretty exciting. And then Isaiah said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, that their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Well, that's good news, because that means I've got nothing to do with it. There's nothing I can do about that. But we're always trying to do something with it all the time, aren't we? We still are. We're trying to do something with this righteousness. And he says, it's of me. It's not of you. And it's your name. Hello. Well, sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a little shocking. Mm-hmm. Just a little. Hang on to your britches, because there's coming some big shovels full of coming. We're just starting. Right? But your name is righteousness, and it's of him. It's your personality isn't righteous. Your ego isn't righteous. It's all a mirage anyway. Psalms. This is what God's saying about the world. So we're going to start to get the answer about why God isn't doing something with the world. Here he says, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. So this is the righteousness of God portrayed towards us. He will judge the world in righteousness and uprightness. In Psalms 96, before the Lord he cometh, for he cometh to judge the earth. Everybody's shaking, right? Because that's what I've always thought. My mom always, you know, was talked about, you know, we're going to burn in hell all the time. You know, the Pentecostals would show up in our camp every year for a couple weeks. And boy, we'd have to hide after those meetings, I'll tell you. Because, I mean, they were, you know, the devil was everywhere. They didn't worship God. They were worshiping the devil. That's all they talked about. Yeah. Wow. So the Lord, he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the earth with righteousness and the people with his truth. Not our truth. This is nothing we've come up with. In Psalms 98. Mm-hmm. Before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Equity. We like equity. Right? Everybody loves cash. Equity. Value. People judge the earth with value. Value. The world with value.
then an axe. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. So love came into the world and laid itself down for us, came into the depths of hell. The whole time Jesus was walking on this earth, he dwelt in hell and destruction. Okay? And if you're looking out into the world and finding problems, you are dwelling in hell and destruction. Yeah. You. Not your neighbor. You. So we need to be delivered from this. And so Jesus said in John 5, he says, my Father judges no man. And we have a hard time with that. We do. I do. I get caught up into it. I know better. So what is your view of the world? What's your view of the world? Do you see the world in righteousness? Do you look out and judge the world in righteousness? Hello? We usually, most of us have a list of the things we don't like. I remember a gal coming to me for marriage counseling back when Diane and I were first married. And I've got some good tips for you today on that, by the way. But anyway, she came in. Someone asked, she had this list with her. And I listened to her for a couple sessions. She came in twice. My husband needs to quit drinking beer, and he's staying out with the boys too late, and I just wish he'd be a good husband. You know, it was about her honey-do list about how to be a good husband. Now, in the third session, I said, well, would you give me the list? She did, and I crunched it up, and I threw it in the trash can. I said, well, there's your victory. I said, you got to get rid of your list. That's the problem. It's not your husband. Well, needless to say, she didn't come back. It's the last time I saw her. But there's some good marriage advice right there, right? So what is your view of the world? Who are you? Have you become a judge of the world? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm raising my hand to me. Yes. So the only reason the world looks the way it is because of the way you see it. So it's an outpicturing of what you see. Your own judgment. Now, we've got a billion people running around all doing the same thing, right? Right? And so you've got a system out there going on, right? It's all a mirage. All of it. It's counterfeit. It's giving us the wrong picture of reality. Mm. It's not reality. It's not real. Why? Because it's changing all the time. Nothing that's real ever changes. Can't blame your neighbor either. It's not your neighbor's fault. So our own understanding, our own judgment in which we see the world comes from trying to change the world. So we think something needs to happen out there. So we're judging the world in unrighteousness, aren't we? Just the opposite of what God says. We look out and say, boy, that's a mess. I like watching the world news, you know, but I can't say it's uplifting. But what am I seeing on the world news? The combination of all the judgment of man coming together in areas, and they're doing stuff to try to improve a life that's not even real. In our second hour, we're really going to dive into that. It's going to get a little more painful, but in the end, it'll be really good. Because we have to identify the areas where we're out of sync with God's judgment of the world. We have to. If we don't, we're going to be double-tongued. We're going to be talking hypocrisy all the time. We can't be doing that. So, I've come to do some purging to identify some areas where we, I guess I'm part of this light of the world. Am I part of the light of the world ministries?
What?
Am I part of the light of the world ministries?
You are the light of the world.
I'm the light of the world. Our, this ministry, I've come to identify some things that we together have been misrepresenting. Because we've got some things on the list here where we've been speaking and they're not right. Oh, really? But it'll be good, because we're all in the car together now, right? Is everybody in the car with me?
Same boat.
Everybody's in the car, we're driving, and we're going to see them in the rearview mirror by the end of the day, okay? Not all of them, but some of the big ones we're going to see. So why do you look unto the world after the outward appearance, Jesus says? Why do you do that? And he said, why do you look on things? Well, the world. I stuck the word world in there. I think that's okay. Same thing. Why do you look onto the world after the outward appearances? Ye judge after the flesh. I don't judge anybody. I judge no man. Neither does my Father. He says, judge not according to appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Now we found out what righteous judgment was. I read you 6 verses. Righteous judgment is God says, I judge the world in righteousness. How do you judge the world? It's a big problem. I judge it in righteousness, he says. It's amazing. Because it don't look like that out there. So, there isn't a thought that's going to go in between your ears, or a picture, or a sound that's going to come to you that's going to bear witness to what I just said to you. It's always going to try to pull the rug out from under you, right? Always. This is what it means, now listen closely, this is what it means to work out your salvation. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you're doing anything. It means everything that's coming at you is going to say the opposite of what I just told you. It's not going to line up with it. And you're going to have to just be still and say, the Father is judging the world in righteousness. And we might go off track. We might get off the rabbit trail a little bit, right? That's okay. We can get caught up in this spiral where we judge ourselves for judging things. You know, boy, that's nasty. And you get caught in that. Because sometimes that happens when there's 2 people, you know. It's funny, you know, see, we don't talk about judgment, and then if you say something, hey, quit judging me. You know, well, quit judging me for judging you. This passage is, we could spend all day just on this passage we're going to read, but I had to pare it down because I want to focus in on this righteous judgment of the world. This is big. we've continually turned the truth in Scripture into subjective things. God is spirit. So the only thing he can give you is spiritual understanding. He isn't going to give you something. Okay, that's why we're frustrated. So here in Isaiah, unbelievable passage. He says, declare and bring forward your strong arguments. You have been praying to gods that cannot save you. He's calling prayer arguments. God, give me this. God, give me that. God, change this. God, change that. God, I'm having problems with this. God, I'm having problems with that. I tell you, it wasn't long ago, but before I came here even, there was a lot of resistance. You know, there's nothing out there doing it. I'm just all in here. Okay? It's all in here. And I didn't ask God to change anything. I just said, why is there turmoil? Why am I frustrated? Why am I unsettled? You know, and it happened 3 or 4 times in a row on some things. I got some brothers that I've hired and are working with me, and it's a thorn in my side, okay? But I love them. So what do? You know? But it's a little bit of a thorn. And I'd say, Father, you know, what's my problem, right? Now, what's your problem? What's my problem? And every time he said to me 3 words, it's your judgment. It's your judgment. It's your judgment. And it caused me to step back from the appearances, to peel back like peeling off an onion layer, to look at why was I frustrated? Not the frustrating part of it. Why was I frustrated? What am I afraid of? What's the problem? You know, what's going to happen? You know, I don't get my way or whatever it was. I can't remember all the specifics. Because the problem never is what it appears to be, ever. Because appearances are deceiving.
Yeah.
So as Tony has said 100 times, you can't deal with the problem on the level of the problem, because you didn't get there because of the problem. Something else is going on before that we lose sight of. So he says, declare and bring forward your strong arguments. You have been praying to gods that cannot save you. If we're praying to God to bring any kind of change into this world, into our circumstances, we're praying to the God of this world. That's what he says. We're arguing. Something's wrong. You've judged the world in righteousness, but I've got a problem with it right now. I need it fixed. So really, these requests are prayers of judgment, requesting change. Prayers of judgment. It's no wonder we're not getting anywhere. Sometimes it appears like we're getting some answers, you know, things might fall in line, we get all excited. But then what happens when we're not excited? Then what happens? Why is this happening? So this is what it's like. It's like this. Right? Oh, this looks good. I'm excited. This doesn't look so good. This looks good. This doesn't look so good. You know what that's called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what it's called. And he says, if you eat of it, you'll die. 1,000 deaths, not one. You'll die every time it doesn't go well. And you'll be excited when it does go well. And then you'll die. And then you'll be excited. It's a miracle realm. None of it's real. So he says, go ahead, bring your strong arguments. You've been praying to gods that can't save you. Take counsel together. Who told you these things? Who told you these things? Same thing that happened in the garden, isn't it? Who told you? Who told you these things? Here Isaiah is saying the same thing. Who told you these things? What God declared this? Don't you remember me? Who is this God that we're supposed to remember? A God that judges the world in righteousness would be a good starting point. Don't you remember me, he says. Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God. There's no other God besides me. I'm sure. I'm uncompromisingly just. And I'm a righteous God and Savior. There is none besides me. He is declaring righteousness on something we're having problems with. Got many gods in our life, by the way. Every time you change your belief system, you form a new god in your mind. And you start to pray to it. And then that don't quite work out so well, and so we pick up another one. And there's really many lives we've lived. You know, we talk about lives we've lived, and I'm not the same person I was 40 years ago. I'll just tell you right now, I don't think at all the same way. Thank God for that. You know, that was a previous life. So, don't you remember me? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a sure and uncompromisingly just and righteous God and Savior? There is none besides me. Who are these gods that cannot save you? So the gods that cannot save us are those that we formed in our minds to try to help us with our circumstances that we pray to, right? So you almost have one for every circumstance that you're praying to. That's how many gods we have. So look to me, he says, and be saved. I'm already your Savior. Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. But you can't do anything about it. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, a declaration of righteousness upon this world that we have problems with, upon this world. My word has gone out in righteousness. What's your word? What are you speaking? My word has gone out in righteousness.
So look unto me and be saved, be delivered from appearances. This is why Jesus' prescription that was written in Isaiah, his prescription for life said, he would not judge by what he saw or reprove by what he heard. That's the secret. That's the secret key that opens the doors to every one of your issues or circumstances or problems. And I know initially to some that's going to seem a little frustrating, but in the second hour we're going to go deeper into this area to see a little more about what that is. So look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. And unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. Only in the Lord shall one say, I have righteousness, salvation and victory and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incest against him shall be ashamed. That's the embarrassment part. I'm a little embarrassed about the fact that I haven't understood a God that judges the world in righteousness. I haven't understood a God that judges the world in righteousness because I see problems. And I'm trying to do something about it. So why will every knee bow and every tongue confess? Why will all that are incest against him be ashamed? Because we've been trapped in our judgment of time and space. That's what's going on. We have history, we have memories that we carry forward, that we use to process things. So what we need to do is join in beginning to see the world as the Father sees the world. What he has cleansed, let us not call unclean. He has cleansed it. He's not interested in your opinion about it. And he can't hear petitions about a world that he's declared righteous. He doesn't hear any of that. That's why he's not doing anything about it. I have declared the world and judged the world in righteousness. There's nothing more to do. That's why we don't see him active out here in this. That's why he's not doing anything. Yeah, I've declared it in righteousness. Hello? 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 I have declared it and judged it in righteousness. There's nothing more to do. And we can't do anything about that. That's our problem. We're trying to do something about it. Aren't we? We can't do anything about it. So now, this truth has to be made impersonal before it to be effective. We can't apply this to our personality and our ego and our desires, right? We can't, because it won't work. We're going to get in the way. All that stuff's going to get in the way. And we're going to go into that a little bit more to try to help us with that, right? It's going to be good if you hang out of your seats, you know. It'll be good. So just lying beyond the sense of discord, beyond our view of judgment and destruction, we will begin to see the salvation of the Lord as we hear it, right? This is something you can only hear. You're never going to see it. You'll never see it with these. So close your eyes. If you like monkey see, monkey do, you know, close your eyes up. You know, I see no evil, I hear no evil, I speak no evil, you know. You might have to do that. Well, strap yourself to a tree in the woods and put a patch over your eyes and muzzle on your mouth and just, you know, hook a straw up or something if that's what it takes and sit there for a month. I don't care. That's what it takes to get a start on it, you know. But if you can't handle something, then get away from it. If you can't handle watching the news, turn the damn thing off. Excuse my French, but turn it off. It's all smoke and mirrors anyways. If you like watching smoke and mirrors, it's fun to watch Cowboys and Indians. I get into that. I used to watch all that stuff. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a mirage. So if you want to follow that, go ahead. You know, we're going to talk about an oasis here in the next hour. So back to Peter. Grace and peace will be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of this God that judges the world in righteousness. That's what he's saying. Grace and peace will be multiplied unto you. Under the pure, all things are pure. To the pure. The wisdom from above is first pure. Pure. That's what we're talking about. It's pure. Then it says it's peaceable and produces gentleness. Look it up in James. This is this wisdom that's pure. God is judging the world and has judged and declared the world righteous. The world! This out there. I can't have that. Mm-hmm. Now, if we understand these things, he says, we'll understand these exceeding great and precious promises. He's made a promise. There'll be no more judgment. He gave us pictures all through Scripture. There'll be no more judgment. All through Scripture. With Noah, with Sodom and Gomorrah. All these are stories about us. Okay? They're all stories about us. So, I want to see the picture of Sodom and Gomorrah now. Where the conclusion was, and everything they thought and dreamed and knew will be as if it never were. All the memories, all the hallucinations that we had will be as if they never were. That can happen right now. We can understand that right now. And as Tony talked about last Sunday, you know, we have these involuntary thoughts that come from all the systems around us and from our own system. And they become, in a sense, they become involuntary because of all the buildup of this untruth that we've believed in. We have believed in. Not knowing this God who says, my gospel is I'm judging the world in righteousness. Before we ever knew God, he said he died for the ungodly. And he said, no man sees God. He'd already saved us. And we didn't know it. You already saved us. Nobody was there. I wasn't there. When he died for me. So, we are given exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers of his divine nature who judges no man and doesn't judge the world in unrighteousness. Right? That's what he's saying. Having escaped the corruption that is in my mind through lust. The world, the mind, yeah, same thing. In my mind. Through desire for change. What's wrong with desire? You know? I just bought a 1965 goat car. I went in and out of it. I didn't know. Did I have a desire? I better let it go. And then he came back and I said, hey, why not? You know. So I got it. Is that the kind of stuff we're talking about? No. Go buy anything you want. Don't judge yourself for wanting something. But if you've got a desire that's unfulfilled and you're in torment about it and you're perplexed about it and you don't have an answer, that is what I'm talking about. Okay? So let's not be silly. I think we've got to go around and climb up a pole like a Gnostic and deprive ourselves of food and beat ourselves. No. That's all humanity. Foolishness. I'm talking about something that you're in a hole in. Whatever your hole is, okay, that you don't have an answer to. So we have to, we've got to live beyond our requests for change. Watch them disappear. Watch them float away. Because that's where life dwells. So if we're looking for something to happen in this world, we're thinking peace is going to come to this world, we're in the wrong boat again. It's never going to look like that out there, ever. It never will look like that. Ever. It's never going to look like that. And you're going to find out that it's okay. It doesn't need to. Once you withdraw your judgment from it, the peace will be there. Yeah. Right here. This is where it needs to be. It needs to be here. Behold, the habitation of God is with man. He's not out dwelling in a puff of smoke floating around in the universe somewhere, sitting on this iron stone throne, you know, waiting to smash you. You know, which is what I thought when I was a kid. I remember when thunderstorms would come and I was a little ways from home. I ran like the horse, the fastest horse, the Kentucky Derby, buddy, back to the house. You know, a crack of thunder would go off. I thought it was God chasing me. Because my mom always told me he was after me, you know, all the time, trying to get me to behave, you know, so I'd clean up my room, things like that, you know. If we're looking for something to happen in this world, we're judging the world. Now, there'll probably be some people listening that's going to get honked at me right now about what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. We had some people get excited about Obama standing up and reading the 46th Psalm. They're all excited. Well, it's okay. Don't mean a thing. If we're going to get excited about that, we ought to get excited about the Taliban standing up reading the Quran. Because it's all a mirage. It's all a mirage. There's no reality to any of that. It ain't going to change a thing. God said, I have declared and judged the world in righteousness. So, are you going to get excited about somebody speaking a Bible verse? People speak Bible verses all the time. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't change God's judgment of this world. Because He said, I judge the world in righteousness. I can go back and read all the verses to you again if you're going to argue with me. Because in Isaiah he said you're arguing with him, and so you're trying to pray to him to change things. You want to change something because you're not happy with what's going on in the world. Your world. God said, I've not come to judge the world, but to save the world. To save the world from what? It's torment. It's going on in between its ears. Yeah. Of all the judgment. So, wanting change, being caught up in your circumstances and your frustrations and stuff. Solomon said, is hell and destruction. Hell and destruction are never satisfied because the eye, hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. We shouldn't be afraid of the word hell. We better know what it means. Are you satisfied today? How long have you stayed in a place where you're satisfied? Or are you seeing problems? Are you seeing things that need to change? So he said, God said, I have not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Well, save the world from what? Save the world from what? From the fear that comes from the knowledge that is produced when we judge the world by good and evil. It only produces fear. Why? Because we never get a straight answer. It's changing. It's like this. It's always like this all the time. I want this. I want something steady. I want it consistent, you know. So Paul said in Corinthians, awake unto this understanding of righteousness, he says. Awake unto righteousness. Awake unto this understanding of righteousness, a truth that is pure. And sin not. So now we have the definition of sin, don't we? It's just not seeing this is all. It's just not understanding this. It's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so simple. And we've made it complicated in a million ways, in a billion ways, because we all have our opinions of how we think life should be. Awake unto righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of this God, a God who is righteous, a God who is extending loving kindness to a world that looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket. But he said, I've declared it righteous. Quit calling it unclean. Don't call it unclean. I like it when gentleness is in my life. I like it when I respond to my wife in gentleness. But the only time that happens is when I'm not frustrated. Then there's a lot of patience there for her, right? She can give you a report on that after the meeting if you'd like. But that comes from a place that is peaceable. Gentleness doesn't come on its own. It comes from a place that's peaceable. And if you read Scripture, the one thing I've understood for a while now is that you read a passage, you find the meaning by turning it inside out and starting at the end and working backwards, and you'll get all your answers. It's so simple. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, and then gentle. So I want to be gentle. But I'll never do it unless I'm in a place of peace, will I? Never. It'll be frustration. It'll be angst. It'll be, you know, whatever it is, right? Well, we're not going to be at peace if we don't understand this pure wisdom of non-judgment. We won't. We'll think we are, but it'll be attached to some experience or some limited understanding we have of life. Okay, why don't we just be still for a little while, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Be still now for a little bit.
This, as you have heard this morning, is actually the prayer of the righteous. You have heard that the old saying, prayer changes things, it doesn't. Through prayer is the realization that all is already well with my soul and with everybody else's soul. So what are we aware of? Well, we have to meditate on these things. And realize that Jesus brought it to us with the gift of righteousness. the gospel of righteousness. And he purged the conscience. That means he purged the involuntary thought patterns that rages in hell all the time, never stops. So when we come to a place of silence, where these thoughts can no longer overtake us and bring about care. Don't care. Take care. No, don't take care. Just be still and listen. So this session has been a very, very, well, an introduction that is really very powerful if you can hear it in its depth. So this is the meditation that we have in between. What are we going to do now? We're going to...
I haven't got a few minutes. Move around a bit. Don't worry. Just a little move around for 10
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, just, you know, even if you're going to set the outside, but be back in about 10 minutes or so, and then we can continue. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.